This is Teachable Moments with April podcast, and you guessed it, I'm your host, April. If you're a returning listener and a part of the Teachable Moments with April podcast family, welcome back. For those who are checking me out for the first time, well, hello and welcome. To everyone listening, be encouraged and look for the teachable moments that are all around us. Enjoy. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. So the other observations are these. Number one, some spirits, such as demons, seem to have much more flexibility. Other spirits, such as ancestral or guardian spirits, have geographical restrictions to their power capabilities. Number two, in some cases, the spirit seems to be so fixed in a particular house, stream, or geographic location that everyone living in the immediate area is affected by sickness, mental illness, or serious attack. Number three, the higher the rank of the evil spirit, the more spiritual power is needed to bind it. Number four, most of the limited knowledge and experience in this area comes from those ministering within evangelistic efforts. They experience success in evangelistic efforts only after breaking the power of the enemy over a church, a neighborhood, or city. Number five, the unseen world of dark spirits, as depicted in Frank Peretti's novels, this present darkness and piercing the darkness may be very close to reality. So this is April of Teachable Moments with April Podcast, and in this particular segment on territorial spirits, we're going to look at the question, how and why do territorial spirits attach themselves to buildings, land, neighborhoods, cities, and regions? All right, so it says, God's intention in creation was to manifest his glory on the earth and live in an intimate, permanent, covenant relationship with humankind. It says the universe is designed to manifest God's glory and to reflect his eternal power and divine attributes. And then they refer to Job 12:7 through 10, Psalms 19, 1 through 4, Psalms 56, and 148, verse 148, and Romans 1:20. Everything, whether physical or spiritual, finds its origin in God. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Everything was created by him and for him, so that in everything he might have preeminence. Found at Colossians 1, verses 16 through 18. Now the Creator offered to Adam and Eve a perfect life of intimate fellowship with himself and with each other, which was a beautiful sanctuary, meaningful responsibility to manage God's earth, and a life free from sin, sickness, disease, hatred, or any other manifestation of darkness. This relationship between God and people and the land formed the first covenant-based spiritual bond between God, man, and the earth. Now, the second point, man's sin and rebellion broke that covenant bond, resulting in lost intimacy, identity, and a defiled earth. And that's what a lot of people may not realize when they become very upset when different things happen in this society that we're living in, and I have touched on this many times, they get very, 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 very angry with God, and they ask the question, why has he allowed this to happen? This is God's fault. And this point right here, when these things, this thing happened, it is not God's fault, okay? They never ask, you never hear them hold Satan responsible or accountable, okay? Along with this, you never hear that. I always hear them, why God? Why have you done it? And they have all this rage and anger towards God and Jesus Christ, not really grasping the fact that we had everything before, and what is the true cause? Who is really behind all this suffering and all this evilness and all this darkness, okay? All right, so it says, when Adam and Eve attempted to be like God by eating from the forbidden tree of the knowledge, okay, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, their disobedience broke their covenant relationship with God. God never wanted these things for us. He doesn't want it now. Okay, intimacy with God was broken. Okay, death began both spiritually and physically, and the land itself was defiled, aka cursed. The humans were expelled from the garden, and hatred entered Cain's heart, and the first murder occurred. When Adam and Eve sinned, they handed over control of God's world to Satan. Satan is called the prince of this world 3 times in the Bible, John 12:31, John 14:30, and John 16:11. Now in a rebellious state, humans no longer act as royal inheritors and righteous stewards of the earth. The spirit of rebellion, which entered through Adam's disobedience, now infects every sphere of life. Satan uses idolatry, rebellion, pride, selfishness, and sin to influence people, communities, and nations to oppose God and to destroy people and the communities where they live. This is what we're seeing right now. We've always seen it, but it's amped up, okay? Is this or is this not what we are experiencing? Is this not what we are seeing? Sin against God and broken covenant with him always has dire consequences, even to this day. You cannot expect to do something like this and there's no repercussions. Okay? Cause and effect. Okay? You can't expect to do something like this and then everything is A-okay. No, it's not. It's not. It's not funny, but it's like, okay, you can't expect to do that. But there are a lot of people, I find, interestingly enough, they think that doing something, they don't understand the consequence for things. I find it so interesting. The earth has a spirit, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And this account is found in Genesis 4:10. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And this is made reference at Luke 19:40. The following scriptures speak of the earth and the land mourning over the sins of the people. And they give reference to Jeremiah 4:28, Jeremiah 12:4, Hosea 4:3, and Zechariah 12:12. When we sin, the earth is cursed, and in turn, we are cursed from the earth. Okay, so I want you guys to think about these things. When these things are occurring, and they're still occurring, man against man, nation up against nation, and just the total desolation. Okay, thou shalt not kill. Okay, so we look at Genesis 4:11, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. The next point is houses, buildings, and places can be defiled by sin. When they defile my tabernacle, that is among them. This reference is found at Leviticus 15:31. Then we look at Leviticus 18:28. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Now the next scripture we're going to look at is Numbers 5:3. That they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. So, yeah, I'm going to keep going and then I'm going to give my thoughts. The next one we're going to look at is Leviticus scripture, 18:27. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. We look at Numbers, another account, 35:34. Defile not, therefore the land. Defile not, therefore the land. And lastly, we look at Jeremiah 32:34. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. There are over 100 scriptures that talk about ways of defiling ourselves. When we defile ourselves, we also defile the house, the building, or the land on which the defilement occurred. If we bring defiled objects into our homes, the home and the land on which the house sits becomes defiled. It makes sense. There are certain areas in which you see certain activity, crime, people using narcotics, people soliciting services. This land, this building, it holds that. It receives that. It curses it. It defiles it. Sins that defile the land. There are root sins described in the Bible that defile both individuals and the related community where they are condoned. So now we've moved from buildings, houses, people, but whole communities where they are condoned. So when certain things, certain areas, certain neighborhoods are flooded with certain things, it's saturated with these activities, lascivious, nefarious events and activities. This is defiling the communities, the neighborhoods. God warns that these sins will separate us from His presence, His protection, and His blessings. They defile the land as well. These sins are especially highlighted in the Old Testament as sins that defile individuals, their community, and the land, the very land where they live. It can easily be seen that land and places can be blessed or cursed by the actions of the people upon them. In Genesis 4:10-11, where God is talking to Cain, stating, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." God curses the land, okay? And then they make reference in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 7:20, verses 32-34, and Jeremiah 12:4, and verse 11. Scripture points to the pollution of the land and curses that came upon it from the sins of the people who lived there. Now, in Leviticus 18:25, it states, "The land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." Then we look at Ezra 9:11 that states, "The land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanliness." All those nights studying, busy days applying what you've learned, and some might say, you're really determined to get an A in that class. But if they knew what you were working on, they'd get it.
It's not just about your GPA, it's about finding your purpose and making a difference. At the University of Dayton, we don't just fly, we soar.
You were just listening to Teachable Moments with April podcast. I truly hope you enjoyed this episode. We invite you to stay connected with us on the other social media platforms of ours, which is TikTok, Pinterest, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. Also, we'd like to invite you to check out our official podcast landing page on podpage.com/teachablemomentswithapril to see all our content in one place and leave personal messages, feedback, and more.